Oh, wait a minute. How can that be? That was weird. What was weird? I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 1, and across the top it said Galatians chapter 6. Well, we know Ephesians follows Galatians. But it was just weird. All right. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Loved of God. Having all spiritual blessings granted to you, chosen, blood bought, blood washed, sealed with the promise of the Holy Ghost. You're a blessed people. And everybody said amen. All right, reading to you from the New Living Translation, verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. The prayer is not so much that we become aware of how powerful God is. That is something that we need to know and realize. But how that power works towards us. It's one thing to know that God is all powerful, omnipotent, if you will. But it's another thing when he releases that power in us, towards us, if you will. We're so blessed to be here on this people planet called Earth. And we know that heaven is a real place. It's where God's home is. It's where God reigns, lives, rules. He rules in the heavens and the earth. But heaven is a real place. The earth is God's footstool, and heaven is his throne. And so the power that is in heaven, that is with our Father, is released all the way into this planet Earth to you and I to live by. And so when he's praying, as he prayed, and of course Paul is now with the Lord, so he's up there in heaven, but the word is here for us here on earth. He's run his race. He's finished his course. He's fought the good fight of faith. His days are up here on earth. Now he sits in that stand cheering us on that we may take heed to what's been written. And so for us, it's like, Lord, grant us understanding, in this translation, the incredible greatness of your power for us who believe in you. Because we don't just want to know about the power, but we actually want to experience the power. Now, what is the power for? The power is not to make a name for ourselves, to become famous, rich, if you will, in this world for ourselves. But the power is to overcome the adversary that comes against us, the enemy of our soul. The power is to go forth and preach this gospel to others. The power is to set us free from anything that might hinder us from doing the will and work of God. We are unlimited in that if we allow God's power to operate effectively. Paul said it like this to one of the churches. God worketh in me mightily. Meaning God is using me mightily, extraordinarily. God is using me in such a way that I could never be used. I can never do this on my own, but God is working in me, and he's working in me mightily. Now, the manifestation of the power of God working in Paul's life was such that, and we know this, and so it's just a reminder, if you will, such that they could bring aprons and handkerchiefs to him and let it touch his body, and the anointing that was on his life got into those aprons and those handkerchiefs, that when they took it to the sick and took it to the people that were demon possessed, they got healed of their sickness and freed from the power of the devil. God working in him mightily, casting out the demon in that girl, the spirit of divination that was operating in her. And as far as her master's concerned, she was a winner for them because she was bringing them money by the fortune telling she was doing for them. But when the devil was cast out, she had no more power to do those things because those powers weren't from God. They were from the devil. It got them in trouble, but God was working in him mightily. He didn't see it the first day. He didn't see it the next day. But as time went on, he saw it. And when he saw it, he cast it out. Something's not right about this young lady. He set her free. God was working in him mightily. Even though it got them thrown into prison, and there they were at midnight, instead of complaining and moaning, they were praising God and singing unto God such that they got the attention of everyone in the prison. And they were in the innermost prison, if you will. And they got everyone's attention, and they got God's attention. Their praise ascended to heaven. And God manifests his power on earth such that there was the earthquake and every prison cell was open, but nobody left. You heard of Prison Break. I think they have a movie or a sitcom or something. Not a sitcom, but, you know, they have a movie, you know, Prison Break. And those cells open up and people run out. But the presence and power and glory of God was in that place because of two individuals, Paul and Silas, in that prison cell. Instead of complaining, they were praising. And at midnight, God moved to the point that the jailer was about to kill himself. And I, no, don't do that. We're all here. How did he know they were all here? Paul didn't go out there and just do roll call. I don't think they had been in there long enough to know everybody that was in prison. But he just knew by faith. Nobody has left. We're all here. And so the man takes them home and cleans their wounds and all. And then they lead him and his family to the saving knowledge of Jesus, the power of God working in him mightily. And as people of God, if the power of God can work in us mightily, let's not settle for weak. Amen. That same power is readily available for us today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, I believe it is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? So, that same Christ that was in Paul is in us. I also pray that you will understand, grasp, comprehend the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. And I know we shared this last week. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So again, raise Christ up not to die again, but raise him up to die no more. And then had him placed in the place and seat of honor, which is at the right hand of the Father. That same power is now within each and every one of us. We got resurrection power in us. This is why Paul could say over in Romans chapter 6, in talking about the relationship between Christ's death and then water baptism, and that when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death, if you will. We identify with his death, that Christ died for our sins, but that he rose again. And as Christ rose again to new life, to die no more, we rose to new life, if you will. And we're supposed to live in the newness of the life now and not in the old. The old man is supposed to be buried. The new man is what comes to fruition now. Amen. Hallelujah. That raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, verse 21, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, and not only in this world here on earth, here in the present, but also in the world that's to come. Meaning to say Christ reigns now and he will reign throughout all eternity. And this is our Savior and our Lord. This is the one who we follow. This is the one who lives on the inside of us. We are in him. He is in us. This is how we want it to be. This is how God made it to be. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in him. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. And we come become one with him. Not that we're Jesus. He is, but we're his body. Hallelujah. We are the ones that God executes his work in the earth through. We make up the body of Christ. Our position is great. We live from our position of who we are in Christ rather than our position of who we are as shoeshine boy. Some of you still might remember from last week about underdog. I think it was last week I talked about underdog. Yeah. Sherman or whatever his name was. Now he is far above, I'll read it again, any ruler or authority or power or leader. Now, if that's Jesus' position and place of power and authority, and we know he's seated at the right hand of power, but his body is still in the earth, and that's you and I, we make it up. As he is, so are we. Listen to this. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church, or as the King James says, I think it's on the board, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. This one says, for the benefit of the church. Now, if Jesus can make this bold declaration that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will what? Not prevail against it. Jesus is still building the church today. So that would mean that the gates of hell cannot what? And so every time a new believer comes into the body of Christ, the church is being built. When we start praying, using our heavenly language that God gives us, if we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues, we're building ourselves up on our most holy faith, according to Jude verse 20, keeping ourselves in the love of God. If we're building ourselves up, guess what's happening to the body? The body is getting built up. And as the body is being built up, that means that the gates of hell are not prevailing, but ought to be prevailed over. Amen? The powers of this present darkness. Now listen, God didn't call us to go out and fight the devil. He gave us the authority and power to trample over the devil. Trample over serpents and scorpions. Why? Because our mission and our assignment is to win the lost to Jesus Christ. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Anything that gets in our way, Jesus has given us authority and power over it. Because every time we win one sinner, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Every time we win one sinner to Jesus, the body enlarges, it increases, its population grows. And that's another individual that the gates of hell are not supposed to prevail over. But we have to grow in Christ to get to that place so that what used to run us over no longer runs us over. Mind you, as a babe, you have parents to protect you, guardians as they are called, to watch over you, to nurture you, to protect you, to get you to that place to where you can now stand for your own self and fend for your own self, if you will. It's the same way in the kingdom. Children have angels that watch over them, but they also have parents to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? So that they overcome the adversary that would try and come against them. God hasn't predestined any of us for defeat, but every one of us for victory. And through the book of Ephesians, we see how he does that. We come into the revelation of God's power towards us. same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives and abides in us. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. In other words, where the Father has put Jesus is for our benefit. Hallelujah. We benefit from that. From Christ's position, we benefit from that right now. It's not when we get to heaven. It's right now, if you will. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Stand to your feet. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, fill me with all your fullness, even to the overflow, that it is no longer I who live, but you live in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus did all of this not for us to be victims, not for us to be, orphans or widows or somebody that's forgotten or just some rejects or some retards, if you will. And I say retards, not trying to, malign anybody. But we understand when we see people of, dealing with certain mental issues and things like that, that things are different. I'll just put it like that. But Jesus did not do everything that he did and is not in the position that he is in for us to remain like that. He did it for the church to be strong, because the church has to exercise God's will in the earth. Jesus, when he was on this earth, fulfilled the will of the Father. And now we're here to fulfill the will of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this night and for this time. We thank you for what you revealed and how you minister to heal. And I pray, Lord God, that healing just flows everywhere. Anybody that's in here who needs healing, Lord, just touch them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Let nobody be the same, but ever changing into the image and glory of Christ Jesus. I pray for the strength and power to manifest more than ever before in our lives. That we be found to be fully pleasing unto you. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father, that we come into the, not just the awareness, but the actual living experience of being in you and you being in us. Let your power flow. Let your anointing continue to work through us. That in this world of darkness, your marvelous light may shine bright and many be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. I pray the power of the blessing over every son of God, every daughter of God, every child of God in this place. That the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That nothing the adversary brings your way will knock you out of your seat or off your saddle. That you'll continue to ride high, stand strong, be tough, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. We thank God for you. And we will see you soon, Sunday, if not sooner.